You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Joe Crawford.
And I'm Don Guerra. This is the Daily Local News for Tuesday, April 18th, 2017.
Those are not eviction orders, and there'd have to be a court hearing, and they, you know, their request on the foreclosure ultimately would be to terminate the lease. But that's, depending on what happens, could be, that could be months and months down the road if that happens at all.
A Bloomington landlord is facing foreclosure on several apartment buildings around town. That story is coming up later in the program.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Everyday People, a weekly segment aimed at improving the lives of older adults and people with disabilities in Monroe County. But first, these local headlines.
The city is making progress on renovating the old Dimension Mill on West 11th Street. The old mill is within the certified tech park. In last night's meeting of the Bloomington Redevelopment Commission, the city's economic and sustainability director, Alex Crowley, said he'd like to move from design approval to financial approval in the next 2 months.
The Dimension Mill project is progressing. We have seen that now a second set of interior design thoughts for the layout of how the layout of the facility might align with the programming that was put in place for it, programming design. It is at least a tentative plan right now that we want to present that interior concept to this group possibly as early as May 1st.
Crowley said the city's goal is to have the site, quote, activated by August. He said he is continuing to work to bring private investment into the tech park.
We are starting to turn our attention to some of the more private investment moves that we can make, which involves potential developers for the lots as they are currently roughly laid out, as well as the administration building. So those are the new areas of focus that we're starting to contemplate as we look at development specifically.
Crowley says the administration is investigating the projected costs of designing and building out this infrastructure for the tech park as a whole. The city contracted with Indianapolis urban design firm Anderson Bolander on infrastructure design last year. The firm provided design plans for public review in January. Crowley reports the city has received financial projections from Anderson Bolander and is comparing those costs with estimates provided earlier.
So we've gotten a 60% view of that. We've gotten some costs associated with that view.
Are you talking about the Anderson Bolander?
This is the Anderson Bolander work, yeah. And so we are right now digging into the costs to understand them, figure out how they align with estimates. And so we've asked Anderson Bolander to pause briefly on their work so that we can do that analysis, and then we'll go from there.
When asked by Commission member Suze Gambaluri about a timeline for new investors, Crowley said he couldn't yet provide one. In other business, the commission approved a $27,000 contract to demolish structures on two properties recently purchased by the city. The first property, a private residence at 717 West Howe Street, was bought as an expansion of the building trades park across from the Bloomington Hospital. The second property is Wee Willie's Restaurant Building at 1724 South Walnut Street. The city bought that property to serve as the Walnut Street entrance to the Switchyard Park, which is under development. The operations director for the Parks Department, Dave Williams, said frequent break-in attempts at Wee Willie's are pushing up the timeline for its demolition.
Our plans had been to wait for the demolition of that facility until the Switchyard Park construction project began, which we anticipate to be a little over a year from now, but we're having problems. So we solicited quotes from local contractors for the cost, just to see how much it would take to take down both locations.
Williams said the demolition cost for the Howe Street property alone was originally estimated at $30,000. Roger Taylor Excavating will demolish the structures on both properties for $27,500.
The city of Bloomington expects to pay about $230,000 to repair the intersection at 3rd and Lincoln Streets downtown. That's according to City Communications Director Mary Catherine Carmichael. Last week, inspectors discovered the infrastructure supporting that road at the intersection was structurally unsound. Since the inspection, the intersection has been closed off, causing traffic issues on one of Bloomington's primary east-west routes. Carmichael says crews hope to open one lane each way by the end of this week. That's if the weather permits. The city has hired Weddle Brothers Construction to repair the road. Carmichael says the city's goal is to have the entire repair finished within 3 weeks. She noted that rain could delay the work, which required laying of new concrete. There's currently rain in the forecast on Thursday afternoon, Friday night, and Saturday.
Monroe County is still waiting to hear whether its two-year Monroe County Energy Challenge has placed in the Georgetown University Energy Prize competition. Sustainability Coordinator Jackie Bauer told the Environmental Commission last week she has received no information on how the county ranks among 49 other communities competing for a $5 million prize.
So Georgetown University, I think, is expecting to have some results reported this month, but I don't know when this month. So we're hoping to have some indication soon. I think the next step really is to identify their top 10 competitors out of the 50 that were involved. So I hope we'll have those numbers soon, but since they haven't really had data available, we have no idea. You know, we don't know if we're in the middle or at the top or at the bottom or anything. So it'll be a complete surprise.
Bauer said two other initiatives that stemmed from the Energy Challenge are ongoing.
Our energy outreach coordinator is continuing to work, and she's been spearheading a couple of specific things. One is an attic insulation program where we are targeting lower income households to get attics sealed and insulated. And we have an AmeriCorps team here who's helping out with that effort, as well as some funding we've received from both Vectren and Duke to support those efforts. And then she's focusing on the Solar, Wind, and Watts program. And that is an outreach program in local elementary schools. So we actually work with high schoolers to familiarize elementary school students with energy concepts.
Bauer said the initiatives are supported by grants from Duke Energy and Cook Medical. Bauer also pointed commission members to the latest version of the city's 2040 comprehensive plan.
The latest version of the comprehensive plan is now available for review, so take a look at that. That is at bloomington.ion.gov/CMP. So that they have it on a pretty quick approval schedule. So they're going to have 4 or 5 public sessions in the next month or so and are hoping to get it approved pretty quickly. So
Commission member Rhonda Baird reported progress is being made on a forestry initiative planned for the county's Thompson Road property on Bloomington's south side.
The steering committee is coming together and we are looking for volunteers to help with the planting once the design's submitted and approved. And we also are looking for project managers to get involved with specific sites. So that's sort of the next step. So if people are interested, they can contact me through the commission. And that's a wrap.
So what would a project manager do?
Project manager would take on the implementation and maintenance of a specific site. So working with that site's like the maintenance installation and maintenance plan, working with the steering committee on educational programming and activity days, things like that.
The county bought the property more than a decade ago, but is only now finding a viable use for it. Bauer said the tree planting is planned for this fall.
The Indiana Youth Institute, Brown County YMCA, and Brown County Schools are hosting an event to educate youth and parents about the opioid epidemic. This free event is scheduled for this Thursday, April 20th, from 9 to 10:30 a.m. in the Goldberg Room at Brown County High School. Attendees will learn how emotionally traumatizing and painful this heroin epidemic is for those affected, as well as their families and the community. There are planned discussions about Brown County's legal system, as well as resources and services available to help those fighting addiction. This event and lunch is free, but reservations are required. To RSVP, go to iyi.org/calendar. For more information about this event, attendees may contact IYI Statewide Outreach Manager Debbie Jones via email at djones@iyi.org.
The National Recreation and Park Association is in the midst of their Meet Me at the Park campaign. The Bloomington Parks and Recreation Department asks the community to help them win the grand prize of $20,000 to improve a city park. Community members can go to meetmeatthepark.org each day and nominate Bloomington, Indiana. Voters can support up to 16 parts daily. Each nominator will be entered into a drawing to win a tablet at the end of the month. The campaign started the 1st of April and will end on April 30th. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Don Guerra.
And I'm Joe Crawford. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
A prominent Bloomington landlord is facing a massive foreclosure case that could change the landscape of Bloomington rental market. Correspondent Jared Dill brings us the story.
Indiana University Credit Union is pursuing foreclosure action against several properties owned by Jeff Jones, owner of the property management company Pendragon Properties. The lawsuits, 9 in total, affect Pendragon locations around the city of Bloomington. The court filings allege that Jones is behind on his mortgage payments, as well as owing large sums of money in unpaid property taxes. One filing showed almost $50,000 in unpaid property taxes on a building valued at around $800,000. All of the cases were filed at the end of February. Pendragon manages dozens of rental houses around Bloomington, as well as several apartment complexes. The apartments are predominantly mid to low cost. The defendants named in the cases include the City of Bloomington Utilities Department, as well as the Department of Housing and Neighborhood Development. Additionally, a long list of unnamed tenants were named as defendants. Court papers were served to those tenants in March. We spoke with City Attorney Chris Wheeler regarding why the city was named as a defendant in the case. He says the city has several outstanding judgments against Jones, as well as a lien against his properties for unpaid sewer bills. This constitutes a financial interest for the city in the outcome of the case.
The City of Bloomington Utilities is also named in quite a few of those. The only reason that the city is named is that the city owns various judgments against the owner of the real estate. So when a foreclosure occurs, the bank or financial institution that is holding the mortgage is obligated to notify everybody who has any kind of interest in the real estate that this foreclosure is occurring, whether it be a financial interest, well, they're all financial interests, but they are in varying degrees. So all of the unknown tenants are named because they have an ownership interest in the real estate to a degree. They have a right to be in the unit or the home. Some of these are houses, some are apartment complexes.
The judgments, Wheeler said, stemmed from previous cases brought against Jones under Title 16 of the Bloomington Municipal Code. Title 16 covers inspection and maintenance requirements for rental units in Bloomington, over which Housing and Neighborhood Development has jurisdiction. Tenants of Pendragon properties were named in the case because, as residents with current lease agreements, they too have a financial interest in the outcome of the case. The serving of court documents to large numbers of tenants in early March set off rumors on social media of mass evictions at Pendragon Apartments. We have been unable to confirm that any tenants have been evicted as a direct result of the foreclosure proceedings. It is possible that the court documents served to tenants were mistakenly interpreted as indicators that an eviction would soon follow. This is attorney Mike Carman, who represents Jones and Pendragon. He says there's no reason anyone would be evicted at this stage of the proceedings.
If that's happened, it's not been involving, Jeff Hughes, another attorney for some matters, but I'm not aware, and it would be a surprise anybody's been evicted as a result of these proceedings, because there's no way to do that. I mean, the bank, when they file the foreclosure, often names known tenants, or usually they list them as unknown tenants or occupants. I'm sure you credit union did on these, but those are not eviction orders, and there'd have to be a court hearing, and they, their request on the foreclosure ultimately would be to terminate the lease. But that's, depending on what happens, could be months and months down the road if that happens at all. So I'm actually not aware there's been any evictions or an attempt to do any evictions as part of this.
The unnamed tenants were served through the mail by the Monroe County Sheriff's Department. Carmen says that, from the tenants' perspective, nothing is likely to change for several months while the case works its way through the court. There is a possibility that the case could be resolved without a change in ownership, in which case tenants would be unaffected. In most markets, maintaining a revenue stream from existing tenants is a smarter financial move than evicting them once ownership of the property changes hands. Jeff Jones and Pendragon have a history of conflicts with their own tenants, as well as with Hand and the city. We spoke with Adam Scouten of the Bloomington Solidarity Network, an activist organization that, among other activities, assists tenants in handling conflicts with landlords. He says most of the complaints levied at Pendragon are for unresolved maintenance issues in aging houses and apartment buildings.
Other problems that we've seen mostly revolve around, broken appliances, just generally apartments being run down, broken windows not being repaired, and, the sort of rain and the elements getting into people's properties. The list goes on and on. It's typically around maintenance things because the buildings are in such poor shape by and large. What usually happens is people have no recourse but to withhold rent, and then he moves to evict them. And that's pretty much standard business practice for them.
Landlords are still obligated to uphold their lease agreements while foreclosure proceedings are underway. There are several services available in Bloomington for tenants who are having issues with their landlords. In addition to the Solidarity Network, Bloomington residents can contact Housing and Neighborhood Development for help. Free legal advice for low-income Hoosiers is available through the local office of Indiana Legal Services, and IU students can contact Student Legal Services for advice. As of this broadcast, Jones's attorneys have been granted a motion to extend the time available to prepare for the case. We made repeated calls to Jeff Jones for comment, but were unable to speak with him. We also spoke with a representative of IU Credit Union who declined to comment on any aspect of the case. For WFHB News, I'm Jared Dill.
Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service. Now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Coming up next, WFHB's weekly community resources segment, Everyday People.
Don't mess around. of a town.
Welcome to Everyday People, improving the lives of older adults and people with disabilities in Monroe County.
Everyday resources for everyday people. Connecting our community by sharing resources you need, want, and probably don't know about.
Hi, welcome back. Today we have Kathy Romy, the Executive Director of Meals on Wheels, and Julie Hill, a volunteer with Meals on Wheels. They're here to tell us about the program and about another thing they're doing called Words of Wisdom Project. Let's start with Meals on Wheels. First, welcome, ladies.
Thank you very much.
So what can you tell us about your program?
I'm Kathy Romy, the director of Bloomington Meals on Wheels. We serve anyone in the Bloomington community who is unable to cook for themselves due to injury, illness, or disability, temporary or permanent. Meals on Wheels is a fee-for-service organization, but we do have some funds available for people who are unable to pay. We started that program a few years ago. It is limited, but there are some funds available. We've been doing this 44 years. And,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, a long time. I would say that what we're able to do is reach out into the community to the elderly and others that need our assistance because, you know, good food is good medicine. That's kind of how
Absolutely.
I feel. And a lot of people can recover in their own home a lot faster than they can in a facility somewhere. So there are lots of good reasons that Meals on Wheels is needed.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, my mantra is always there's no place like home. So
that's right.
I
there you go.
That.
That's
and
true.
So now is this a Monday through Friday? Is this an every day?
Mm-hmm. We deliver two meals a day, Monday through Friday, a hot meal and then a cold deli meal for the evening. So there would be no preparation involved. All the meals are based on a diet order prescribed by the doctor.
Wow.
And we have 10, 11 different types of diets. Everything from a regular diet to a diabetic diet. And we are the only home-delivered service of diabetic meals in Bloomington.
So now tell me, I don't know a whole lot about the Words of Wisdom project. Can you share with us a little about that?
Well, this is really exciting to me. The Commission, Julie with the Commission on Aging and some other folks came to Meals on Wheels and said, can we start a pilot project with the Meals on Wheels clients for Words of Wisdom? And I thought, what a great idea and a great way to start. This is an attempt to reach out to those that are isolated and lonely, don't see another person during the day besides their volunteer that brings them their meal.
Yeah.
So, and socialization is very, very important in terms of healthy individuals. And so this is an attempt to reach out to those that are isolated in our community and bring some creativity. We have about 14 clients that have agreed to participate in this pilot program. We give them a literary prompt and we ask them to write a word, a sentence, a paragraph, a poem, whatever they feel like. And our hope is that at the end of this project, we'll collect all of those responses and we will create an art project.
Oh, that's amazing. I love this so much. I'm even thinking, you know, Active Aging Coalition would be a great platform to have a meeting and do a piece of the project. Because how great would that be to ask those seniors their input and to maybe come back later and do a presentation there.
So the commission is working on the new format for the Creative Aging Festival. We hope to host something called cafes.
Mm-hmm.
And then at those cafes, we'll talk about a topic. The first cafe will be on May 4th, and it'll be at Sherwood Oaks Church.
Okay.
And we'll be featuring the Words of Wisdom gathered from the Meals on Wheels project.
Great. Thank you so much, ladies. I can't wait to hear an update.
Thanks for joining us on Everyday People. Tune in next week for more information and resources that connect everyday people to everyday resources. For WFHB, I'm Courtney Stewart.
And I'm Stacey Goffinet.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Jessica De La Cruz, Joe Crawford, and Tara Fahimi, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Jared Dill.
Everyday People is produced by Courtney Stewart and Stacey Goffinet. Our engineer is Matt Griffin. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. For WFHB, I'm Joe Crawford.
And I'm Don Guerra. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@WFHB.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.